So a pair of really big stories in Atlanta arts and culture just broke this week, and Arts ATL's executive editor, Laura Relier, is here to tell us about them. Let's start for the third week in a row on the Beltline.
Yeah, so some important people stepped down from the Atlanta Beltline Partnership Board over equity concerns. Ryan Gravel and Nathaniel Smith announced on Monday night that they were resigning from the board.
Now, Ryan Gravel is a name that should be familiar to just about everybody in Atlanta. He's the guy who originated the idea of the Beltline while a student at Georgia Tech. But who is Nathaniel?
Nathaniel is the founder and chief equity officer for Partnership for Southern Equity.
What do they cite as their reasons for leaving?
Essentially, gentrification. They just don't think that the Beltline is putting enough focus on the issues of equity and affordability. One specific thing that they cited in their resignation letter was the announcement of a $7.5 million investment from TAD Bonds, which is set to support fewer than 200 affordable units of ABIs in the Atlanta Beltline, which is
That's significantly lower than the more than 5,000 that was promised.
5,600 were promised.
Yeah. Another point that they made in their resignation letter that I thought was really interesting was that they talked a little bit about the fate of the Friends of the Beltline organization that was more of the grassroots organization that was set up to be sort of the outsider voice pushing on the Beltline to push the issue of affordable housing. And that was absorbed into ABP back in 2005.
Yes. And so they're kind of calling for that again. Their hope is to get a more robust and effective coalition of voices, in their words, to see the project to its full realization, which is inclusive and mindful of the communities that the Beltline is entering into and safeguarding residents, longtime residents of those communities. Another thing that they cited, which I thought was interesting, was the recent replacement of Chuck Meadows as executive director by Robert Bronner. That happened back in July. They made it pretty clear that that wasn't a decision that they really agreed with. They both cited that that transition in leadership happened very quickly and was done by the executive committee, not the full board. So it feels like they have a lot of misgivings with the direction that things are going in, and they want to do their best to correct it.
And with concrete going down on the West Side Trail this week, this is something that we're definitely going to be paying a lot of attention to.
Absolutely.
And speaking of people leaving key positions, another piece of breaking news.
Yes. Brett Abbott, the Donald and Marilyn Keough Family Curator of Photography and the head of collections at the High Museum of Art, has announced his resignation.
And this is pretty major news. He has been at the High Museum since 2011, is that correct?
Yes, and he'll be moving on to become the Director of Collections and Exhibitions at the Amon Carter Museum of American Art in Fort Worth, Texas.
I mean, that's a promotion for him.
Absolutely, and there he'll be leading four departments.
Wow.
So he'll be looking over curation, conservation, their exhibition design and preparations, as well as services and registration.
Does the High have any plans they've announced to name his interim replacement?
I can't speak to that, but I can speak to some other stuff, which is Abbott's huge impact on the High Museum. When he came on board in 2011, they had 4,000 prints in their photography collection. He leaves them with 6,000 and like some major, major acquisitions while he was there. So he has bolstered their photography collection, which is known for its American 20th and 21st century and Southern works. They have holdings of Harry Callahan, Clarence John Laughlin, William Christenberry, Ralph Gibson, Richard Mizrock, Walker Evans, and Wynn Bullock. Amongst others.
Yeah. So much like a campsite, he's leaving the High Museum in better shape than he found it.
Yes.
Staying at the High for just a moment, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that it's going to get significantly cheaper to get into one of our great museums here in town.
Absolutely. So they have reduced their cost of admission to $14.50 across the board, with still free admission for children 5 and under.
Oh, that's great. And that's down from almost 20, right,
yeah.
for adults.
$19.50, yeah. $16.50 for students and seniors, and $12 for children ages 6 to 17. but the national average, according to a survey conducted by the Association of Art Museum Directors in 2014, the average amount of money spent within an art museum is $8 per visit, and the average institution has about 279,351 visitors a year. The High Museum has about 509,000 visitors annually. Hmm. So I spent a good amount of time with the survey and was interested to find that the money that is usually accrued from admission, parking, refreshments, gift purchases, all of that stuff only usually accounts for about 27% of the money that museums accrue annually. The majority of most museums' budgets comes from private donations, endowment returns, and government funding.
Yeah, and I do remember that just a little over a year ago, the Atlanta Contemporary Arts Center instituted free admission, and that was one of the things that they cited as the reason that the majority of their money came from private donations, came from endowments. So letting people into the museum for free seemed to make sense to them.
Arts ATL is actually, in the upcoming weeks, we'll be publishing a more in-depth look at the economics of admission price and specifically looking at both the High and the Atlanta Contemporary and the effect that this has had on them. So keep an eye out for that one. Should
definitely
be good.
Definitely.
But this change, I guess we should say, is geared specifically to get more of the community in the High Museum stores. They are trying to make it more affordable for everyone so that it's more accessible for everyone, which is a big initiative that Rand Suffolk stated when they hired him.
And on a similar note, the Michael C. Carlos Museum at Emory is partnering up with the Georgia Public Library Services to offer patrons free passes.
Yeah. You know, Arts ATL critic Andrew Alexander actually brought to my attention that there are passes available for people at public libraries to get admission to all sorts of things. Like if you want to go to Sweetwater State Park, if you're a Fulton County resident, you can, if it's in, you can check out a pass to go for free.
Yeah.
And it waives all of your admission.
Yeah. DeKalb County Public Libraries also offer a similar list of passes to get you into things like the High and the Center for Puppetry Arts, for example.
Absolutely. So in that tradition, the Michael C. Carlos Museum and Georgia Public Library Service have announced that the museum will be providing every public library in Georgia with a pass valid for up to 6 free admissions. There are more than 400 participating libraries in this, so it opens the doors to a lot more people. And this this actually comes on the eve of the museum's exhibition showcasing Shakespeare's First Folio, which is opening in November. So
yeah, we want to get plenty of people in to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Laura Relier, executive editor of Arts ATL, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.